we're going to be sharing this morning, and I'm thinking it's just going to be a one-weeker, but you never know the way things go anymore. If I get through the first point and realize it's not, then we'll keep going, but that's okay. I want to encourage you, as we worship this morning, the dream that Cherie had is powerful because fear is a powerful tool the enemy uses. Fear captivates, grips, and really uproots so much in our life that's good. Fear brings anxiety, fear brings worry, fear brings sickness. That stuff inside of your, do you know that it was said at one point in a book I read years ago that 90% of almost all sickness and disease physically comes from some type of fear. Fear can destroy you from the inside out. And we don't understand the power this thing has until you let it in. And I like the fact that when she asked the Lord and the Lord brought her back to a point and she said, we have an opening. Sometimes you didn't do it. Matter of fact, do you know most of the time when we sit across the table from somebody and we start talking about the things in life that's caused it, do you know most of the things are something that was done to them, not something they did? The enemy doesn't play fair. I don't know if you know that, he doesn't like you very much. He hates you. And he had fear. Really understand that worry, anxiety causes such loss of joy in your life. This is a tool the enemy uses too often. So I hope and pray that you'll receive that word this morning, the dream that was given during worship that would encourage you to just believe that God has and will continue to set you free from fear. Amen? I was just want to encourage you there. All right, faith focuses on the future. Kenny did a series, I think, 20 weeks long, I think? I don't know. It was a while ago now. But, as you know, Kenny starts with 2 and then goes to 4. But I can't wait to see the next one because he's going to be preaching in the beginning of October and then again November. I'm wondering how you're going to get to preach those 2 months. So it's okay. But when you hear him preach, don't you enjoy it? He teaches it, and you don't want him to stop after 2 weeks because he builds it and builds it and builds it. You're like, okay, you want to come back for more. So I joke, but I don't mind sitting in the front row listening when he's up here. But he mentioned some things about uncovering and unrooting unbelief in our lives. And one of the things he mentioned was unbelief caused you to look back. Remember when. Look back. Oh, remember when God. And I'm not saying we don't honor the things that God has done, but there's a lot of ministries that are still talking about what God did in their church 20 years ago. Remember when God healed that one person? Remember, your faith is in what he has done, but it ought to build you and catapult you what he's going to do. And so this morning, I want to pray something and believe something with you, that faith focuses on the future. He's not done with you. I don't care. Well, some of you are getting old. And I realize that tomorrow I have a son turning 18. I'm getting old. But you know what? My future, I'm more excited about today than I was last week. Because his new mercies are fresh every day. And I'm going to believe that tomorrow is going to be better than today. I'm believing the greatest day is the day that I go and be with the Lord. That means I am continuing to grow and get in faith and excited and experience the love and the awesomeness of God every day until I see him face to face and go, hey, I arrived. Here I am. I've been waiting and being propelled. And it wouldn't be awesome to go and say, oh, I finally made it to heaven versus, oh, I've been preparing this for the last 20 years. And now I'm here to encounter what I've been longing for. Rather than having heaven be an escape for you, it becomes a fulfillment of you instead. And so I want faith to focus on fulfilling the rest of our life on this earth to manifest the presence and the glory of God everywhere we go. Amen? So let's read Ephesians chapter 1, I say this every week, don't I? It is one of my favorite prayers in all of the Bible. And I'm going to pray it, and Paul prays this for you. And so I want you to realize this is not just me reading a scripture over you. This is me reading an anointed prayer that God inspired Paul to pray and write down because it's that powerful. So I want you to hear this morning. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgot to give the computer person, sorry, you can forgive me later. But you're already up there, Tyler, because you're amazing. Okay, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Ready, verse 18. I want you to claim this for this morning, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know which is the hope. Hope is future. Hope is looking forward to something. It's the foundation of faith. that you may know the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is saints. My prayer this morning, I'm going to stop because this prayer is so good, we're going to have to go through it. My prayer is that your eyes would be enlightened, to be awakened, that the heart would be enlightened and awakened and know that the hope that you've been called, the inheritance that you received by faith is yours to accomplish here on this earth. Paul's prayer is that you got to see it. Most of you can't see it. And I have this written down here. If you can see it, you can receive it. I'll get to this in a minute because I'm jumping way ahead. That's okay. I'll get back to it again. In Hebrews 11, we're going to turn there in just a minute. Don't go there now. Noah was told by God to build an ark. He didn't see the rain, but he did see the ark. He saw the fulfillment of the promise. He didn't just, he believed God the rain was coming, but what he saw was his ark being completed. He saw vision, which propelled his faith to require action to build the ark. By faith, Noah believed, right? And that's why it's in the chapter of 11. So Noah had to believe God's word and see this ark being done because he trusted that God's word was always going to be true. And when you begin to see and you get vision and you get dreams and you get passion stirring inside of you, you will not let that die. You will not lose faith because you have vision. The biggest problem we have, never mind, you know what? I'm jumping ahead. All my notes are so good today. I was sitting there in worship going, this is so good. I just want to preach. Let's get back to our text. You're all laughing. That's okay. I don't mind. I'm pretty fired up up the later sermon here. That after your eyes can see what God has called you to see, you will never lose passion. You'll never lose hope. You'll never lose excitement because that hope and that passion fuels your faith. Faith is a substance of what? Things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. You're not seeing them, but you're seeing them. You're not seeing them here, but you've seen them here. You've seen them here. You're seeing them because Paul prayed that you'd see them. And I'm praying today that you see them. I'm praying the eyes of your heart might see, might enlighten, be enlightened to know and to see and believe what God has for us. You catching this morning? I'm praying that your heart would see. I'm praying that your eyes would see in the realm of the Spirit. And we're going to get to this in so much deeper in just a second. Verse 19, and this right here is amazing. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, ready, toward us who believe? And I wrote in my margin of my Bible at one point, the exceeding greatness of his power, that we have faith in his mighty power in us. What works his mighty power in us is, it says, those that believe. If you see it, he's given you the power and faith to believe it so you can receive it. So he's just given you all the answers in this prayer. It's a prayer with all the answers. He says that you would know the exceeding greatness of his power in you if you believe. According to his mighty power. So he is the power. He's giving you the power. And he's giving you the faith to believe. He's done everything. All we got to do is grab a hold of it and start using that faith. And then it says this, which he wrought. That's how he did it. He wrought in Christ, which he raised from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above. This is where we are. We're seated in him. Ephesians 2, if we kept reading, which we're not going to read the whole book, even though we could. He seated us with him, so you're going to find out the same power that we now are seated in. He raised us from the dead, set it on his own hand, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is also named, not only in this world, but also is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all of the church, which is the body and the fullness of that him that fills all in all. This is the power of our King that we now sit with and reign with and go walk with authority and dominion ourselves. He gave us this when he left the earth. He says, there it is. I've taken the authority. Now I'm going to release it to you. Go and have dominion in this place. Jump with me to chapter 3. My other favorite prayer in all the Bible. But I was just going to read one verse, but I can't. Verse 14, for this reason, I cause and I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto him the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And I know that we just finished a series recently about the name of Jesus. We are named, and our name and his name, we represent each other. So when you go out there, as I told you before, when I would say I am a Varnell in this church, that meant something. Now it's like, hey, not no more. I've got 18 more. But, you know, at least... at least your name represents something. Now I've got siblings here. I got family here. And you can see our name, but we're still representing somebody. They're down in Florida right now, but we are an offspring. We're a seed of what has come. We still represent something. And that name, which we represent, is the name that all his family right here is derived from. It's greater than your last name. It's who you are. We are, as Kenny shared earlier, we are children and sons of God. Now he's going to pray something over you right now that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Isn't that the same thing he said a minute ago? The riches of his glory. To be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell, reign, rule in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, to grasp, that your eyes may be enlightened. Once again, Paul's praying for something deeper than a physical encounter, but a spiritual encounter that is deep. With all the saints, which is the breadth, the height, the length, the depth, and you might know that word there is experience, God's love, the love of Christ, which passes head knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, this is the focus verse. Now that you know that he's filled you with his love and his might and his glory, now he says, now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Is that pretty good? Exceedingly. Oh, abundantly above. This is the God we have right here. The God of exceedingly abundantly above. The God who is not just going to get you by, but it's exceedingly abundantly above. He didn't just sit you on a rock. He put you on a high rock. He didn't just get you out of your mess. He sets you somewhere higher so you don't have to fall again. He is exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I'm pretty crazy, folks. I can ask some wild things, and I can think some pretty amazing stuff, and God can do exceedingly abundantly above that. Do you think the prayer now in chapter 1 and this verse in 20 tie together at all? That you might know in your heart the exceedingly greatness of his power towards us? Why? Because we've got to finish the verse in just a second, because you've got to see where the power comes. Now to God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to what? The power that's already in you. Where it is? It's already working in us. And if I would have read earlier in Ephesians 1, it would have said that you are sealed with the power, of the Holy Spirit. When you are born again, his Spirit is in you, and the power to succeed, the power to have victory, the power to everything you have is already in you right now. And so my prayer this morning is you would see that we have faith focuses on the future. You've got to be able to see where you're going to believe for it. This morning, I want to wipe out all despair, all frustration that I've gotten this far. You know, I was thinking about this. I'm going to share a few things with you. Number one, those have been around the prophetic circles for a long time in the church, in the church where you walk up and you get a word and people pray and give you encouragement. Anybody, don't raise your hand because I don't want to see them today because then I might get disappointed myself. I know for a fact that in my life I've had people pray stuff over me that still hadn't happened. Anybody? Does that mean the prophetic's bad? Nope. Does it mean they were wrong? Could be. Maybe they weren't. Maybe we missed it somewhere. Maybe it hasn't happened yet. But here's the problem. A lot of times we get disappointed and we dismiss the whole thing because of disappointment. In this church this last week, and I'm glad Shelly's not here because she won't make me cry now. But, you know, we were talking on Monday, and she said, you know, tomorrow Chad's going to take me to, and I said, oh, September 11th, it was the day that Ed passed. Ed died. I'm still sad. I miss him. I love the guy. Craig, others, we've lost loved ones in our life. Does it mean God doesn't heal? Before you answer that, be careful, because some of you, or maybe not you in the room, but some of us is a big stumbling block for you. I prayed and prayed and believed, yet it happened. I just want to be real for a minute with you, because we're going to uncover looking ahead. But you know, sometimes you can't look ahead because you're too stuck on what happened with your own experiences or what you've been a part of. Your experiences, please hear me carefully, your experiences do not negate what the Word says. Your experiences, you know, if marriage, the way God designed, is the way you're experiencing it, great. If it's not, does it mean marriage is bad? You can't negate His Word because of your experiences. You understand me? Please. You can't negate God's Word because of what you've seen in your life. Today, I'm believing that every stronghold that's not allowing you to believe would be broken. Every mindset of failure and defeat would be cut off right now in the name of Jesus. That when the prophetic word comes alive in you, you won't go and say, oh, here we go. Why do you think Paul says this? It says, here, let me just turn there real quick. Hold on. I'm not going to quote it because I want to do it perfect. Because I might not. And you guys would laugh at me or something. It says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. See that none of you render evil for evil for any man, but and follow after which is good, both among yourselves. This kind of Paul's like, hey, I'm going to give you some closing thoughts. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ for you, Jesus concerning you. Do not quench the spirit. And then despise not prophesying. Let me ask you this. Why in the world would Paul, who taught about prophecy, who told the church what prophecy was, why would he even say that? Because some people stop trusting in the prophetic word because of maybe it being misused, misunderstood, or maybe they just got disappointed themselves. I want to be that person right there. I don't want to ever despise the word of God. God's word is superior to your experience. I have, in my life, been disappointed. I have been saddened. I have prayed, and they have passed. I have prayed, and they had to go through all the surgeries and everything else. I have, but does it ever negate what I'm going to continue? No. When someone gives me a grave report, I'm still going to believe and stand on God's word because my experiences do not determine my theology. I believe God's word says it, and therefore, I'm going to believe and not be moved. Can we get there this morning? Can we have the eyes of our heart to be enlightened to know that everything God has for you is still available? If you're holding on to a word, you know, I met Ken and Deborah 20 years ago in May. They're getting old too, by the way. I just want you to know that because they were older. When I met them, they were older than me for a long time. Anyways, but you know, I'll never forget sitting in their living room down there in the basement. And, y'all get distracted too quickly. They know they're old. They got grandkids. Let's move on. I'm just stating the facts, okay? Anyways, gosh, you guys are all chippy now. Okay. I'm not looking at anybody else right now. I remember sitting in their basement, and Ken telling me he had a dream. And what was the name of the city in Africa? Botswana. And I remember Ken saying, you know what, I don't know. And he just was, maybe it was a globe. It might be that old that he had globes back then. You know, that's where that's how they used to travel, is using globes. But anyways, he pointed out there, I said, God, take me across the world. 20 years ago. He went to Pakistan a couple times with us. But that was more of working with the church. But the last 2 years, he's traveled more around and Deborah's never been until now. Now, all of a sudden, 20 years later, God is expediting the call where they're traveling more. They could have given up 5 years ago and said, forget that. Botswana where? Folks, be patient. If God said it, He's going to do it. If God didn't say it, settle in your heart. And this is why, by the way, prophecy, and I'll be honest with you real quick, you give me a word, I'm going to tell you right now, if I don't agree with it, I ain't going to listen to it. Just heads up on that. If someone walks to me, oh, the Lord showed me something, you better be right on. Because you know what I do have? I have the Spirit of God inside of me. And if it's not bearing witness with me, it's going to be chucked in the trash can. Because I'm not going to let anyone speak something over me that's just your will, your will is not very cool for my will, because God's will is going to be done in my life. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to be rude. I might not be disrespectful, but I'm not going to receive something that's not of the Lord either. I want to make sure that what's going inside of me, if you're going to put seed in here, I want it to bear fruit. And if I receive the seed that's wrong and it's a weed, it's going to then mess up the seed, right? You sow weeds, it's going to ruin my seeds. So I'm going to get rid of your weeds. So I'm not saying you take everything that comes our way. Thank you. I'm just being funny today. I don't even know it. I'm not saying that I'm not going to receive it. I'm going to say I'm going to believe only with what God confirms. His word is what I'm going to stand on mostly. There's more prophetic stuff in here over your life than any prophet can stand in the pulpit and do. This word is power. But you know what's great? Is when someone gets up there that is anointed by the Lord to give you the word in practical right here in front of me, that confirms the word. Now I've got the multitude coming together and I'm seeing God do it even more. It's time for us to get in this. Amen? All right, let's jump in. Let's jump to Hebrews 11 and let's get there, because now this is where the preaching starts. Well, who knows what's going to happen. Hebrews 11, we're only going to go through the first few. I already read verse 7, but we're going to do it again. But Hebrews 11, 7 through 10 here. So before we get there, I have a few quotes I'm going to give you. Number one is, these are all from Jesus, by the way. It's just scripture. So we're talking this morning about faith focuses on the future. If you can see it, you can believe for it. You've got to be able to get out of your mindset and get this old mentality gone. So he didn't heal. Or maybe he did. You don't know. You don't know what happened, right? Maybe I got a word and it's not happened. You don't know if it's going to happen. See, you got to stop judging what you see, because you don't know. So we got to get out of this and get set free from the mindset so we can get our faith out there to start seeing for the future again. Amen? So number one, we got to break off that stuff and believe that Paul prayed this prayer in Ephesians 1 for a reason. That your eyes would be enlightened again. To see to what God. And remember, how many times did Jesus walking with his disciples said, look, look. One time he said, look at the fields. They're white for harvest. And he looked over a bunch of natural fields. But Jesus said, oh, no, I'm not talking about that. We don't need farmers today. We need harvesters for the kingdom. See what I've got for you. See it. Then you can believe for it. He said, look at the lilies of the fields. They're not going to, but I will provide for them. See something in the natural, I'm going to provide like I do for them. See that fig tree, when he didn't give the example we're going to finish with in just a second, in Mark 11. Look at something, because if you can get vision for it, you can believe for it. You got it? Are you getting to see this morning? If you can start to see it, you can start believing for it. We got to get you out of the mindset to stop looking back, looking this way, and start looking ahead where God's taking us. Not just you, but as a church, we're going to start doing this. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of the house by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous through his faith. Noah didn't see the rain. Noah didn't see the flood, but he believed God's word and he saw the ark because he built it. Verse 8, this is where we're going to focus this morning. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should have to receive inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. But by faith, he sojourned into a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, with heirs with him, the same promise. Verse 10, if you don't have this circle, please. This is the verse I like to circle. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Okay, if you go back to the Old Testament and look at the story, Abraham, rest of the family, here's your property. Go out and walk it and proclaim and start fighting over what's yours. And of course, Lot, remember, they chose Sodom and Gomorrah, by the way. He's, I'm going to choose this one. Look, the city's already there. Can you imagine what I can do with something that's already been built? Imagine. And so they're seeing the natural, all this. But Abraham, he saw a city, not with these eyes, but with these eyes, whose foundation was already made by God. Abraham saw what the others couldn't see. Abraham had vision to propel him to look forward and not just see what's been built, but what he's going to build. He's not going to see what others have done, but what God's going to do through him. And when we get to a place with like where Abraham was, we are going to start seeing things happen because we believe for him first. Abraham is a great example that he sojourned. He went out there in faith knowing God was going to show him where to go. And when they looked, most of you probably would have chosen the land that already had the city. But Abraham said, I saw a city. What did he see? A field. I saw a city. The foundation was already made by God. And I saw a city that God's going to build through me. This is what I'm asking of you this morning. Stop looking at the city that has been built or the ones you built. It's time to go and look. Cast your eyes upon the place that God is calling you to build, to grow, and to multiply in, and to prosper in, and be blessed in. And when we get to that point, there. I was listening to a message this week as I'm going to continue this. Not a message. It was 3 minutes long. But Chris Vallotton does these little clips of, and he was talking about addictions. And he said, I want to talk to you for a minute about addictions. And so I don't know why I was looking. I read it. That's pretty cool. He said, anybody, he was speaking to the whole church there at Bethel. He said, anybody in the room see yourself as an addict? And he goes, and of course, people all over the place, he goes, huh. There's your problem. You see yourself in your condition rather than seeing yourself where God's called you. Your faith is in what you're calling it here versus what you're calling out over here. And it hit me this week. How many times do we speak over our day and say, oh, I'm just lost. I'm this. I'm that. I'm not that. But you are, and you're not, and you are, and you're not. Everything opposite of what you're saying. Believe it or not, that's faith being released. Chris Fouts was making this statement to this group, the church, was that you're releasing your faith every, and he didn't use these words, these are my words, you've been around me long enough, you know that. You're releasing your faith somewhere every day. And you're getting fruit of that faith every day. But when you start proclaiming it, and so I was thinking, I'm not going to mention names because I just, but I already told the person this morning, I'm going to use them as an example. I'll never forget years ago when God set somebody free miraculously of alcoholism, and they stopped drinking, and God truly has set them free. And they were going through the AA meetings that they're required to go through. And I'll never forget this guy. He said, I cannot, even though I don't think the program's bad, please make that clear, so I don't have anyone throwing stuff at me or writing me emails later. I can't believe it. I cannot say my name is so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic because that's not who I am. And I remember him telling me that, and I was in tears thinking, you're right. You're right, that's not who you are. You're a child of God. I'm addicted to pornography. No, you're not. That's not who you are. I'm addicted to drugs. No, you're not. I'm an adulterer. No, you're not. I'm a liar. No, you're not. You label yourself and you put faith in that label. Listen, you're releasing faith every day no matter what. Why don't you just release your faith to say, I'm an overcomer. I'm victorious. I'm healed. I'm free. When you start speaking it, you know what you're going to do? Eventually, you're going to start seeing it. And when you start seeing it, it's going to connect somewhere, and you're not going to want to smoke weed. You're not going to want to go out and take pills. You're not going to go out and turn on the computer and watch porn. You're not going to go out and do things you shouldn't be doing. Why? Because you're starting to see who you really are. And you don't want to see yourself as someone you're not. You want to see who God made you to be. You're not going to want to do those things. I love what he said in that message. He said, a lot of times go, and he's one of the pastors of Bethel. A lot of times people say, oh, Bethel's against this, and because they've made some strong statements. I mean, for a big mega church, they have stood up for a lot of issues in the world today. You got to respect a church this monumental in America today. But they stood up for marriages. They stood up for rights and the word of God that a lot of churches are not. He said, a lot of people are, oh, Bethel's against this. He goes, no, we're not. We're just for this. And Malcolm Smith, you say years ago, when I listened to him, he goes, the church is not against everything. We're for so much more. We're not against bad marriage. We're against good marriage. We're not against whatever. There are a few things I am against, but we are for God's plan for your life. We're not preaching out against all the sin in the world. They're going to still sin. That's what they do. But why not preach that you're righteous, that you're free? He made you to be holy as he is holy. Why not be that? Why not make a choice today to say that I'm going to release my faith for this? There's four areas this morning that I want to just hit real quick as we close. Number one, I am. These are the four I ams. I am an addict. I am sick. I am fearful, depressed, sad, anything, soul things. And last but not least, my relationship isn't going to prosper or work. Four areas: addiction, physical sickness, soul issues, which is, you know, our anything, depression, sadness, fear, anxiety, those things. They're real issues. Rejection's all in there. All that stuff's there. Or last but not least, relationships. Let me hit them all real quick with one answer. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. Okay, you got it? Amen. You're not sick. You're healed. You're not an addict. You're an overcomer. You don't have, you're not depressed. You have the hope inside of you. It's a seed. It's a seed. It's a seed. So you got to sow into it some more, but you're not depressed. And don't label yourself that ever again. You're not a slave to fear. I think we sang that a few times this morning. We're a child of God. Put your faith out there today to start believing for the antidote. Today I'm giving you the best medication any doctor will ever give you, and just say no to it. No to what has been said over you. If the enemy is telling you that you're always going to be that way, that is, man, you know what? You love it. That ought to be the best news you heard all day. The enemy just said that? Well, I know he's a liar, right? So therefore, the truth must be the opposite of it. So today's opposite day. If the devil says you're sick, you're healed. If the devil says you're sad, I'm happy, because he's a liar and God's word is never, ever going to lie to you. You follow this? Well, my last area is relationships. Every marriage in this room, listen. Every relationship that has children who are astray, listen. If you will learn, and I would tell you, I will never forget this day. It was one of those days, just we were sitting at the Anderson Orchard in Mooresville. And I was sitting with Mark and Deb talking about, you know, their kids walk with God. They're great. And then I didn't know all the history until I met them that. And Deb started telling me the story. Oh, they weren't always that way. Chad wasn't always an angel. Never mind. I'm not going to go there. Okay, so he still doesn't have wings, but still. And by the way, Chaz, you do realize that, I don't, how many years ago did you tell me, oh, you got to listen to that song? Like, oh, I love it. And I love the song he sang this morning. Love that song. What Do I Know of Holy? Oh, my goodness. What an amazing song that is. But she started telling me what we did. We just started speaking the word over our kids. No matter what the legal system said, we spoke over our kids. Come on. No matter what we saw in their behavior, we just spoke the word over our kids. No matter what we felt, what we heard, what others have said, we kept standing on the word for our kids. And I just sat there and went, wow. And they're walking with God, and it worked. And I thought, we've been doing this wrong. We're out there having midnight prayer meetings. We're out there going and gathering the saints together to go pray for little Johnny who's, you know, lost his way, rather than just someone standing on the word and loving him. Loving on him. Loving on them, standing on the word, loving on them. Loving on, stay on the word, loving on them. Because the word never fails. But you know how the word works? Faith works by love. And hearing the word. Yeah, y'all are so trained. Look at you guys, are so trained. I'm done, I'm out of here, let's go. I've done my job today. You guys are so good. You're like, you always say that. I mean, yeah. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word, yes. But faith works by love. Faith works by love. So the way that you draw those relationships back to a place they're called to be is by faith. You still got to do it in love. I don't care how much you're praying for your spouse. If you're not loving them, you're not very good. I'm telling you, I'm praying for you, daggone it. I feel it. I feel your prayers of wrath. Love. Love. And faith, that's what's going to see a change. Relationships need both. So today, I'm going to stand with you that faith works by love. If you're praying for relationships in this church and in your life and in your families right now, I am standing together with you that the word of God calls them home. Like the prodigal son was called back to the father. It wasn't because of a phone call or a text message or because everyone there was saying, get back home. It's because he found a place with the pigs he didn't like. He found a place inside of himself that was wrong. And God, through his awesome love and mercy, drove the son to go back to the father. It was something inside. Why? Because I guarantee you the father was not sitting back just acting like normal, because we know from scripture he was sitting on the front porch waiting for his son to come home. That's what our Father's doing with your kids, with your relationships right now. He's waiting, and he's waiting for them because his love is drawn out like a fishing net. Just every day he's loving on those ones that are lost. You don't mind me sharing. Thanks, Tammy. I appreciate it. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to this awesome lady who's like a spiritual mama over the last 20 years I've been here. And those that don't know Tammy, my very first year of being here, she met me and goes, I heard about you coming to town. I tell her this all the time. And I put your name on my refrigerator, and I pray for you. For 20 years. She's had a tough job. You might want to get sainthood. If we were the Catholic Church, we'd be sainthood level right here. But either way, this lady has, and she was, I said, how are your kids? And she just starts glowing. They're all where they're supposed to be. My son is here. My daughter's here. My son is here. I'm like, whoa! What'd you do? I loved on him a lot, and I prayed for him a lot. I stood out in faith, and I loved him. And this is the key to getting relationships restored. It's getting your faith out there, but loving them through it. Word without love is nothing more than legalism that destroys. You can't go and get someone to come back because you tell them to. You love them to it. You love them to it. Your mercy compels us to repent. Love compels me to turn. And when we get that point, that's how you get relationships restored. You want your marriage better? Keep telling them everything they're doing wrong. See how it works for you. Come back to me in a week and see how if you've got papers for divorce yet. Come on. What if you speak to them the opposite of what they believe about themselves or about what they think you believe? What if you undone lies that you helped put in process over the years of marriage? What if you undo it through love and truth? What if you start speaking to the core of what they believe that's wrong and you start speaking the opposite of in faith and love? When you start learning to live that way, you start learning to live in faith. And you start seeing that God wants your marriage. He wants your kids. He wants your relationships to be healthy and whole again. Amen? Isn't that what God wants? He wants every one of your kids, every one of your relationships to be called by God and to fulfill the plan and destiny in their lives too. He wants it more than you do. So why not be in agreement with his word? Close here. And just go ahead and put our weekly verse up, Mark 11. Just for kicks and giggles here, just we're going to have some fun. It is in my notes, by the way. It's in my notes every other week just to make sure I keep it. Let's just go ahead and tie it all together with this beautiful bow. Mark 11. I don't even know why we even turn our Bibles there anymore. We should know this. Mark 11. This is the conclusion this morning for you. We got to see it to believe it. But what happens is Kenny shared this message a few months ago, maybe a year ago by now, about the mountain driving to work every day. Remember this? I think as you said, Keith Moore shared it, is what he said. And the story was, every day as you're driving north and you see the sun over the mountain, at one point you can't even see the sun because the mountain's so tall. What if God moves mountains because your faith is persistent and it never stops? What if when he says speak to the mountain, he didn't mean speak and it goes now? What if he meant every day you walk and every day you stand and every day you're patiently standing on the word of God, the mountain just begins to shrink? And all of a sudden after day 1, day 10, day 15, you don't realize this, but you're starting to see the sun over the mountain. And you think, did the sun go higher or the mountain go lower? Yes. And so God's grace went higher and the mountain went lower. And as you keep driving and you keep stepping, as you keep going, you start speaking and you keep speaking, the mountain starts shrinking and the sun gets brighter. Verse 23, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto that mountain, be thou removed and cast the sea, and shall not doubt his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have
whatever he says. Again, I ain't going to preach this because I do it every other week. That's pretty good by itself. I think Jesus did a good job. I won't add to it. Therefore, because of the principle that you know, speak, believe, receive. Speak, believe, receive. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you desire, I desire for my marriage to prosper and be healed. Okay. Release your faith right now for it. I desire for my children to walk with the Lord the way that they're called to walk. Come on, I'm not praying against their sin. I'm praying for their calling. I'm praying God's plan for their life. Lord, set them free from that. No, he'll do that. Don't worry. He'll clean them up. He just got to call them home. Call them back home first. They're not going to clean themselves up with the pigs. He had to get out of the pig before he didn't clean himself up until he got back to the Father's house. And boy, he probably smelled when the Father jumped on him and gave him a big old hug. Then he said, go take a shower, please, and then I'll give you a robe, but let's get you showered first. So you get him back to the Father's house first. Believe. Speak it. Believe it. Receive it. I'm not an addict. I'm an overcomer. Believe it. Speak it. Receive it. I'm not sick, I'm healed. It's God's word. Believe it. Speak it. Receive it. I'm not depressed. I'm not sad. I'm not fearful. I have no anxiety. Well, you're lying to yourself. No, I'm just speaking truth. I can either speak the facts, which will lie to me continually, or I can speak truth, which sets me free. You choose. My relationships are called by God. So whatever you are going through right now, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you should have them. Father, I pray this morning, as we stand and we close and sing this song again, as we close and knowing that our position as children of God, we can stand and declare your word is true. So right now, if you just do me a favor, right where you're seated, Holy Spirit, I ask you, right where the prayer that Paul prayed thousands of years ago, I pray the prayer in faith right now that the eyes of my heart, come on, receive this by faith this morning for you, that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened, that I could see where the blinders have been, where the strongholds have been, where distractions have been. Take them away so I can see again. I can see myself healed. I can see myself free. I can see myself whole. I can see myself happy, content, joyful, because I see myself the way you see me. Truth prevails over the lie. Jesus has set you free. Today, you get to choose. Live in it. Dwell in it. And so today, by faith, I receive. I can see it. I can see my marriage. Oh, man, are we happy. I can see my kids standing in church. Whether they're with me or not, don't worry about it. They're going to go where God calls them back to. I see my kids worshiping their God again. I can see my kids set free from addiction. I can see my kids right now. I can see my nephews, my nieces, my neighbors. I see them right now because now that I see it, restore my vision today, God, that I would speak life and love over them now from this day forward in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet and worship this morning. Amen.
I am surrounded. Oh, I am surrounded by the arms of my Father. Oh, I am surrounded by songs.
Children of Israel, they get out of the captivity and they see this big ocean in front of them, and Jesus showed up. God manifests his presence and split that. No matter what ocean you come against, no matter what obstacle that comes in your way, see the sea split. Amen. He's going to make a way. He's going to do it by the power that works in you already. It's yours. You already have the power to believe. Let's go out of here today believing that you received. Amen. Hey, have a blessed week, and there's a lot going on, so enjoy. Amen. I'm no longer